I was thinking today is January 22nd. On January 22nd, 2024, I launched my podcast called Our Greatest Performance. And that's basically on the premise that you can look at your performance at your job, you can look at your performance as a husband or wife, or as a friend, or as a daughter or son. But what if you looked at your entire life as the biggest performance you could ever have? And the character that you're playing is you in your highest, most authentic, real self. And the overall point of it all is to be you, truly you, to the best of your ability, to your highest potential, your most happy, healthy, wealthy, wise version of you. And that's your greatest performance, life itself. Since then, I have shifted the name to Rad Life. RAD stands for Resilience, Authenticity, and Daring, which I've pinpointed as a recipe for success. You can look at the vast majority of the greats, and you can see that they had an authentic path, authentic desire, or a calling, or something that they were uniquely suited for and drawn towards. And then they dared to go after it and spend their life working on it and achieving mastery and being true to that thing. And then they were resilient enough to keep going through the ups and the downs and the trials and the tribulations and the pain and all of the things that come up against you in life, and especially when you have a big mission or calling. So Rad Life was born. The life is also a acronym for leadership, impact, fulfillment, and energy. So those are kind of like the main pieces of the idea and my business. And I just want to kind of give an update of basically a reintroduction of who I am, how I got here, the things that have changed in the last year. Because as you might see, if I was super consistent with the podcast, I would have 52 episodes right now, and I have probably like 15, I need to check, maybe 17, something like that. And there's a few reasons why, and I want to just talk a little bit about my background as a reintroduction, and so we can see, you know, what we have in common, and you can know more about me and why I care about the stuff that I care about, and what's been going on the last year that's changed, and things along those lines. And just kind of go over the premise of the show, which is really, at the end of the day, the most basic way I would put it is it's about how to live and how to be alive and how to do life better, meaning having more depth, having more richness, having more fulfillment, having more energy, having more devotion to the things and the people that you love, getting outside of your comfort zone to attempt and to achieve big things, to truly know yourself, both at the personality level and at the highest spiritual level. Yeah, I'm just exploring life. I'm curious about life, and I'm curious about what is possible within a lifetime. And I would say that the three kind of pieces that fit together for me are life purpose, which you guys call dharma or your calling, mixed with high performance or peak performance, mixed with human potential. And I think these can be explored through a variety of avenues, all of which I'm interested in. I think that human potential and high performance can be seen in athletics, but it's also an arena that you see this playing out is business. And I'm really interested in business and entrepreneurship. I'm really interested in activism and advocacy. So as a type of kind of pivot presently, I'm going to be including a lot more storytelling in the podcast, and including basically me researching people who have done great things and breaking down their stories. I think it's so helpful to know about all of the things that have happened in someone's path, and in spite of them, they persevered. as Maya Angelou would say, and still I rise. You know, it's like stuff comes up. This is the resilience piece that I love so much. Stuff comes up and they continue and they push on, they push forward. And then for the interviews that I'm doing, I'm going to change part of that to be directed more, not only on, you know, their expertise, but really focusing on people's stories and specifically on the elements of their authentic path and the times that they were daring along the way and their resiliency. So I think that's a good intro before we kind of get into it. But if you are a creative, a leader, an entrepreneur, consider yourself a visionary, someone with a big dream, a founder, in that realm of basically you are or aspire to be a thought leader, you're putting out unique ideas into the world, you're curating information for people, you are at the forefront of something that is impacting people's lives or other businesses or the world at large. These are the kinds of people that I work with one-on-one and support in their health and well-being, looking at things like HRV and your sleep and your nutrition and your physical exercise and movement, etc. And then looking at pieces of your mindset and teaching mental skills training and mental resiliency and about the connection between your heart and your mind and how that coherence makes you kind of like a superhuman and a super magnet for the things that you want. And we go into a lot of elements also that are more practical of like, what is your purpose? Can we name it? Can we name your mission, vision, and purpose? Can we identify what's your true North Star or North Stars? And then do basically project management to say, okay, well, if you want to get from here to here in 1 year, or 3 years, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 50 years, what would that take? And who would you need to be? And what would you need to do? And then breaking this down into not just smaller goals, but projects and outlining these projects that will build up your expertise, build up your portfolio, that will allow you to achieve the things that you're trying to achieve in order to move from to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Because something that founders face, something even that freelancers face, is you become your own boss. And there's an element of human psychology that we actually do really well when we're not only tied to a deadline, but we're tied to the expectation of someone else. Like someone is expecting us to perform or to, you know, create the pitch deck that we said we would, or get the results back for blah, 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 you know, at a certain time, whatever that is. And so having a coach that's basically like there to know who you are deeply and support you and your goals and dreams, and also have your feet to the fire a little bit of like, okay, next, like the execution is going to be this, like we kind of agreed on and researched and stuff like that. And when do you want to have it done by, and like be of support in actually doing the damn thing, so to speak, which is what I'm doing for a series of clients right now. And it's so much fun. I really find deep enjoyment in problem solving and data analysis and spotting patterns, and have like a ability to kind of intuit who to reach out to or who to learn from or what to do next, what steps to take, and utilize, you know, a combination of my background in science and biology and psychology and neuroscience, and then combine that with like marketing and sales and business, which I've become more and more passionate about the last few years as I've grown my business. So yeah, that's kind of the background of what's going on presently in the pod. And I refuse to be one of those podcasts that, like, you know, most people don't get past, like, I think it's episode 7 or 11. I refuse to be that podcast. But I could see from the outside, it might look like, okay, she's lacking consistency, she's dropped off, hasn't, you know, been showing up every week. I literally, I kid you not, I think about this podcast every single day. I want to sit down and record all of the time. One of the biggest things I've been working on lately is just like intense perfectionism and operating in a quality way, like putting out quality work, doing things in an efficient way, all this kind of stuff. And so for me, I'm like, well, if I'm doing a podcast, I want it to be beautiful. I want the design to be great. I want to do it all on video so that I can chop it up and put it into like short form, you know, et cetera, like do all the things, but basically do all the things that, you know, people with huge teams are doing or have been in business for a long time or have greater time capacity. As someone still operating mainly in the solopreneur space, I've had a VA before, don't have one presently because I've been shifting some things, like I said, but basically just being me, I can't do everything at the highest level right now. And I've had to just come to terms with that. And I'm really focusing in 2025 on being willing to do things messy and do things imperfect while still having a quality standard. Like, it's not like I don't want to put out stuff that I'm not proud of. But this, for instance, like I'm out on a walk right now. And the place I've been living, I'm currently in India, has been under construction the entire time I've been there. So it's very hard to film videos. But I was like, I want to bring the podcast back. And you know what? I think I want to bring the podcast back on the day that I birthed it. And it doesn't have to be on video all the time. Like, what if I just allow myself just to do audio when it works and video when it works? Like, what about that? And so at the end of the day, I want my standards to be high, but I'm also just practicing a little bit of letting go of these impossibly high standards that I set for myself. And so here we are, and we're just doing audio, and I'm walking in the forest right now. And so if I sound a little breathy, it's because I'm power walking. And I've always said, you know, it's like you have the hot girl walk, which was coined, I think, by Tinks, but I've always had the podcast and power walk, and I'm taking it to a whole new meaning now with me podcasting while walking, power walking, not just listening to a podcast, which is the normal case. So kind of like that. Also, it's getting late, as in the sun has gone down, it's getting dark, but I want to keep podcasting, so I'm going to walk a little extra today and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I guess I'm going to just practice. I'm practicing in public. I'm practicing out loud. But if you want to know more about what I care about now and how I got there, I think it's good. Okay, this is the thing. I think what I'm now willing to do, which I haven't been as willing to do in the past, is to just practice in public, to be willing to just like try and fail more publicly. And so something I want to work on is, you know, sharing who I am in a very like real and authentic way. And this over time will have to be whittled down into, you know, like some kind of pitch. But for now, I'm just going to explain my background and who I am and how that all leads into what I'm doing and what I care about and what my future kind of vision is for my life, for business, etc. So I think it's good to start when I was like in first grade. Two things happened. One, I learned about biology and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to study. Like, I loved nature and I loved animals. And I was like, I'm going to become a biologist. And the second was that my first grade teacher entered me in a writing contest. I didn't know she had entered me, or maybe a few pieces, I want to say. And I won in the classroom, and then in the grade, and then in the school, and then in the district. Ended up winning this series of writing contests. And she really supported me and encouraged me and cemented in me that I'm a writer. And I loved it. And I went on like every year, probably for the next, like through eighth grade, I was winning writing contests. And it was cool and I loved it. And it was a big part of my identity. And I always did very well in writing. I was a good student overall. I was really good at math. I was really good at writing. I loved science. And I knew I wanted to study biology. So anyways, first grade, I say, I'm going to be a biologist and a writer. And it's actually funny. When I graduated college, my mom gave me a box of different like papers and photos and stuff from my past and my childhood. And one of them she gave me, I'd written in first grade, it was like a worksheet. And it said, you know, when I grow up, I want to go to school at this place, etc. And on that piece of paper, I wrote, I'm going to be a biologist. I'm going to go to school at, I think it said University of Oregon, UC Davis, or UC Santa Barbara. And my mom gave it to me on the day that I graduated with a biology BS from UC Santa Barbara. And I was like, whoa. Am I a master manifester? But really, there are spiritual elements of manifestation, but there are also action elements. And I had very strong alignment with who I was in relationship to like what I actually was interested in, what lit me up, what I liked, what I was good at very early. So I studied writing and biology in my undergrad. And I did bioengineering research in undergrad as well, thinking that I wanted to have a career in research. And then a couple things happened, but the most notable was that I just realized the research I was doing was super cool and I really liked it. I found it very interesting and I felt very alone working in a lab all the time and weird hours and all this kinds of stuff. And I just basically realized it wasn't the career path I wanted, although through that and through prior experience, I knew that I loved doing research in different capacities. I'm trying to think of like if I go back in time, what I can trace it back to. So I told you I was really, really obsessed with animals and nature when I was little. I learned the word ecology in second grade, and everything it felt like in the world like clicked almost, which sounds kind of dramatic, but I was like, oh, ecology, like the study of how things relate to the other things around them. Like, yes, that's so cool. I think I want to like study ecology within biology. And I was serious about it. So my dad is a professor and he used to take me to the library at the university, at his university in my hometown. And there's these huge books that are basically catalogs of every degree offered at every school in America. And he would take me to the library and I would look through them and look at all the different schools and see like who offered zoology or ecology or different biology programs. And I would make lists and I would like look up what the best schools were and what they were known for and why. And like I was locked in quite early. But I also was very, I would say now the word I would use to describe it is mystical. I was very energetically sensitive. I didn't realize how much so until I was older, but I was very, very, very in tune with kind of like this spiritual essence that I definitely didn't have words for that when I was younger, but with nature as well. And I just felt so connected to and through nature. And like one of the best examples I have is there's a walk that my family used to go on around the neighborhood. And I don't know if it was with them or with my friends, because we'd also go down to this creek, which part of the walk went over, but we discovered this bird's nest and the bird's nest had eggs in it. And I would sneak out of the house and go walk or run over to this bird's nest and just kind of like look at it, spy on it, wait for the mom to come, just like think about it. I just thought it was the coolest, most special, beautiful thing. Like my feelings about it were so big. And I think I just grew up having such big feelings and really not knowing how to express them and feeling in some kind of way like other people, most other people didn't have as big of feelings as me. And so I would try to like, you know, shut them away or repress them and not share them. But I had these big feelings when I was little, up until probably like age 12, 13. And yeah, oh, I was thinking about when I would do research projects. So like I would go and I would observe these eggs like every day and see if they'd hatch and see how they're changing. And then like when the babies came, I don't even know. I still feel in my body right now the feeling I felt when like the little babies came and like hatched out of the eggs. I just was like, this is the most delicate, beautiful, special thing. Like it just was such an overwhelming feeling. And like, so it felt so special to me, like kind of like my little secret, me and nature, me and these reeds that were holding up this bird's nest. I don't know. I just like thought it was amazing. I also throughout elementary school, especially in like fourth grade, I remember doing this. I would listen to bird song and try to like write down in my journal what the bird song sounded like to be able to repeat it, which I am not very, I'm musically talented in some ways. Like I'm good at playing like kind of like the bass percussion side of things. I played the baritone, the stand-up bass. But I'm not super good with like tonality and scales. Anyways, I don't know why I thought that I could write down what a bird song sounded like and be able to repeat it. That's just not in my sphere of talent. But I would do stuff like that. And then in fourth grade, I switched schools. I went through to the same school K through 3, and I was going to be there K through 6, but I switched schools to this new school that had started that was like an independent school, and it was for basically like gifted kids, smart kids, gifted and talented. I don't know what the words are. And I went there for a year and I actually hated it. My mom said something funny to me recently. She was like, you hated your teacher so much. I won't say her name, Mrs. Blank. She's like, you thought she was such an idiot and you'd always talk about it. And you would get so mad and say like, what's the point if I get an A and I'm doing really good work if like everyone's getting A's? And I guess I had a little bit of a grievance around like actually doing good work and trying hard, but then everyone was getting a similar grade. It's kind of like the whole concept of like participation trophies and ribbons these days. I thought that was pretty funny. Anyways, after that year, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the kids at all. Yeah, they were smart, but I just got stopped by a guy on a motorbike. Sorry about that. Yeah, I just didn't like the kids. They might have been technically smarter, like in their star tests or whatever the standardized testing was. But they had no social skills and they weren't good athletes. Like I had social skills when I was little, even though I was definitely on the nerdier side during these years. I kind of love that about myself now. And I wasn't running with like uber popular kids, I would say, but I was running with cool people. And that worked for me. It's like, that's what life is all about. You just gotta spend time with people that work for you at the level that you're at or your interests or whatever it is. I don't know. I think that that's like good advice across all age ranges. Just don't give a shit what other people think about the people you spend time with if you like them. Anyways, I had social skills and I also was a really good athlete and I was a good academic. And these people were so nerdy or so weird. I just could not do it. It was not my jam. So I left and went back to my regular school, fifth and sixth grade. And I, at that time, I had tested 2 years ahead in math. Or a year ahead, I don't know. I was testing ahead. And so, actually maybe just a year. Yeah, so I basically was able to be in a split class 1 year, but the next year I just had to redo the same year of math all over again because my parents didn't want to drive me to a middle school once a day for math class, which is fair. I wouldn't want to do that either. Anyways, in fifth and sixth grade, what I started doing were independent studies projects. So because my teacher and my parents knew I was really into science, we set up, or I got to set up my own independent studies projects that I would work on for like a few months at a time and then turn in like my work and my reports and my research and stuff to my teacher. And I did all kinds of cool ones. I did ones on bird wings, like the bones of birds and how the different densities or like angles of their wings and stuff would allow them to like have different styles of flying and speeds that they could reach and things like that. I did one on endangered species and on, I'm trying to remember, on Jane Goodall, who was like my hero of heroes when I was little. And then I did a fundraising in my classroom and we sponsored chimps at, like, I think baby chimps at the institute that she has. I did one on seed growth and I would sprout different seeds and give them different types of like amounts of light or amounts of water, things like that, using the scientific method and see, like measure their growth every day and see what did best in what environments and compare it to my hypothesis. Yeah, stuff like that. And so like I've always been really into research and data and learning in that type of way, like congregating a lot of information and then looking for the patterns in it and things like that. Anyways, where should we bring it back to? How many times have I said anyways in this? I did bioengineering research and then I graduated college. Through that, I had huge mental health challenges that definitely went on to shape my entire life. Yeah, a lot of anxiety and depression. Then I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 21. At 20, our school went through a mass shooting event, and someone that I had gone to middle school, high school, and college with was killed, and it was very destabilizing, very, like, very, very, very difficult time navigating my brain and mental health. And yeah, so when I graduated college, I took a year off and I traveled for nearly a year. And then I ran out of money. And I'm going to say this for the entrepreneurs and business people out there. That was the first time that I used debt to my advantage, or maybe second. I got scholarships for college, but I also got loans and some grants. But the loans helped, you know, cover college for me. And I paid for part of my college, one third, let's say, like a good chunk. And then my mom paid for the other part. And then I had scholarships, loans, and grants. And when I finished graduation, or when I graduated, I found out that I had enough money that had been kicked back into my bank account, because, I had had extra like loan money or grant money or scholarship money, and I had enough to cover my debt, but I decided to take that money and travel for a year instead. And I used debt to go to university, which having that degree, having a biology degree from one of the top public universities in the States, I think was a very good move. Even though there's an anti-college kind of like vein these days, especially with younger kids, I think that having a college degree shows that you can stick with something, that you learned how to study, that you learned how to think, that you can problem solve, that you can hold deadlines. Like, it teaches you so much how to socialize and do something serious at the same time. You see, Santa Barbara is a big party school as well as a good academic school. Anyways, I used debt to get my degree, and then I used the debt from my degree to travel for a year. And then that year was really special and really opened my eyes up to so many things and people. So just want to throw that out there. Debt isn't always bad. We don't need to demonize it. The right debt is really helpful, and the richest people in the world and companies in the world leverage debt, but that can be another podcast. Yeah. So after graduation, I studied biology, thinking, okay, we can do something with biology. And I was like, okay, well, if I don't want to do research, maybe I should just go into biotech, and I should go into sales in biotech, because sales are kind of the bread and butter of everything, all business, and you can make a lot of money in sales, and it's really good to have those kinds of skills no matter what you want to do in your throughout your whole career. So I went and got a sales job at a Fortune 500 selling SaaS and learned a lot about sales and did really well despite having pretty severe depression to the point of being like suicidal and not wanting to be alive for much of it, which is, I think, really speaks to my sales skills if I'm going to toot my own horn for a second. Yeah, and just like my ability to communicate with people, communicate value, match it to a problem, etc. Then I briefly went to, from the Fortune 500 to a startup because I wanted to try out a different environment within sales. But although the startup was really cool and there's parts of me was like, maybe I should have stuck it out. The management for the actual sales team was horrific and abusive and horrible. And so I left. And from there, I actually had one of the coolest things happen to me was I was recommended by a friend to this guy who owns a business who hired me as head of operations. And essentially, I got a crash course for the next year and a half, like deep dive into entrepreneurship and business through working directly below the CEO and doing everything from operations, sending equipment all over the world, shipping gear, ordering, buying stuff, shipping our people all over the world because we were a global company and had tons of national and international clients, or domestic and international clients. I was doing HR, I was doing payroll, I was doing marketing, I was doing like a lead acquisition, I was doing some customer communication and contracts, and then we decided to open another business and it was going to be a foreign entity in a different country. And I helped do all the research for that. And then the legal setup and like all the things. So I really got such a beautiful opportunity at that time to come in and be such a like important component in the business, and really didn't have the qualifications per se, but I had the type of personality, which is why he hired me, that he just knew I would be super capable, and it ended up being a great fit. My old boss is still one of my really good friends. I learned so much about that and so many about the do's and also the don'ts, and what it looks like to put systems in place and hiring and firing, because I was doing that too, and creating like an entire manual for the company of systems and procedures and employee manual, all kinds of stuff. But then in 2020, when the world shut down, I had an opportunity. And the opportunity was basically to assess whether what I was doing was what I really wanted to do. You know, the world kind of slowed down. And I was like, okay, like this has been amazing, but this isn't my thing. This isn't my calling or like part of my purpose. Even though my old boss was also a biology background, and like there were certain ties that were cool, but it just wasn't what I wanted to do that felt like most authentic to me and aligned. And so I decided to go back to school, and I was deciding between neuroscience, between some route in psychology, and between actually like architecture, like green architecture and design, or something like in the environmental sphere, environmental science type stuff. And ultimately I was like, I know the neuroscience part would be so cool. And my favorite class ever in undergrad was neuroscience. But, I was like, I think if I'm being really true to my interests and passions and what might be my purpose, it has to be something psychology, because I'm so interested in how people work and how they think and how they act. And I have been since I was little. And, you know, I first started reading self-help books when I was in high school, if not middle school. Kind of as a trauma response in a way of feeling like if I didn't change who I was, then I wasn't lovable, but that's for another conversation. So I decided it has to be something psychology, and then I was like, should I get a PhD or a PsyD or a master's or what? The PhD route was looking to be 5 to 9 years, and all that really intimidated me. And then I came across performance psychology, and I was like, okay, this is everything, because one of the biggest qualms I had in the whole decision-making process was I was nervous I was going to quote-unquote pick the wrong thing. And if I picked the wrong thing, then, you know, what if I regretted it down the road and I had to like restart or whatever? And I finally had this guy who I was dating very briefly, right before the pandemic, who was like, just pick something, just pick it. You can't do it wrong. And if you need to pivot or whatever, then you pivot. So I finally picked something. When I found performance psych, it just felt really right. And then I looked up all the schools that were on basically like the left half of the US. I didn't want to be on the East Coast. And I don't think I even looked at the Midwest or the South. And so I ended up applying to schools along the West Coast, four schools along the West Coast, one in Denver, and I actually did apply to one in Miami. And in doing all of that, I felt like a new type of excitement that I was not expecting and hadn't had in a really long time of just like, okay, holy shit, this is such a good path. This makes so much sense. I'm so excited. And so it ended up being a master's in applied sport and performance psychology. And from that place of, even before I went back to my master's, I was like, okay, this is everything, because through that degree, I also had the opportunity to then work with so many kinds of people. I was like, I can support people in the environmental advocacy and activism space. Like, I can support people in the like science and tech space. I can support people in different kinds of conscious business. And so I had so many different opportunities for what it would look like when I went through with this degree and this kind of like career path. And that was super, super, super exciting to me. I felt like the world was kind of like opening up with opportunity by choosing this path that I hadn't even known really existed fully. And I'm going to roll this into a part two, but this is what's coming out today, and it's leading up to the next portion will be about like what I've been doing the last few years, what happened in grad school, why I'm not still in grad school or don't have my diploma, the vision I have for the podcast, for my online presence, for my business as a whole, how you can be a part of it all. And in the meantime, I love you. Thanks for listening. We're just kind of wasn't really a teaching one unless you're just like, okay, I'm going to learn about Mackenzie. But if you're here to learn about me and see if our missions align, this is a good place to be. So I'll talk to you on the next one.